T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
We are now in almost certainly the end of days for Tom Brady as a Patriot.
Can Brady take the Chargers to the AFC Championship game?
I'd like to see Tom Brady go to the Tennessee Titans.
This is where my stomach really got twisted in a knot. The Denver Broncos.
Can we just keep him in New England?
Yeah, thank you.
One thing that Brady can be agitated about, as much as anything personnel-wise, is that he got set up in a situation now by the team because of the personnel on offense, where he ends up looking like an ass.
Jason Kennedy, of course, is the one who did the interview, and he's going to join us now live from New York. What's up?
Goat sat with the goat. How was that?
How long have you guys known each other?
14, 15?
Yeah, working together for about 14 years. When you're working together with someone for as long as you are, he's like my therapist, too, so he hears all the things that I'm going through in my life.
Right now, dudes are coming out of the office.
Something ain't coming, guys.
Yeah, they're playing ring toss
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tell you what, after watching the E Network last night, I feel a lot better about this game on Sunday. If I told you, I feel a lot better about this game on Sunday. Good.
The closer we get, the more confident you feel.
I do. I feel good, and a lot of it has to do with Kansas City, more so than New England. I think what's happened is people have looked at Kansas City the last few weeks, and I'm not saying that Mahomes isn't great. He's terrific. May not be 100%, but he's terrific, and we know what they can do. But they're the type of team that will make some mistakes with this defense. They will get a little bit confused with this defense. And the other thing is you've got a familiarity now with the Chiefs. You know, we were talking earlier about the game where, who was it, the quarterback 2 years ago that beat them on opening day here.
Alex
really baffled. I mean, all this motion offense and
all the speed.
Speed was the one that killed it. And confused as to where everybody was. I think they've slowed this down. I think they've looked at it. And I'm not sure. You're going to see a slightly different look with Steve Spagnuolo now running the defense and a few different people, especially up front. But overall, you know what Kansas City is, right? You know what they are.
Do you, though?
Yes.
So, because listening to Chris Sims, and, you know, I respect the hell out of him because he's an all-22 snob, and he watches film different than other people watch it.
But, you know me, I watch a ton of football and do all that.
You pissed him off when you...
what are you talking about?
Well, you kind of questioned whether he was a snob.
They never like to be challenged.
It's my job. It's what I do.
Lombardi's the same way. They don't like to be challenged.
Christian, it's what I do.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I said I like you. Okay, stop. But I will say that the offense has not been as good as it's been in the past. Now, maybe they're starting to peak at the right time. Maybe that's what it is.
They have no running game.
No, they're running back.
And then, you know, because those guys are hurt. So Spencer Ware comes in. You remember Spencer Ware. So just in case you're wondering what number he's going to be, number 39, and he may start. Yeah. So because all the other guys are
hurt. Daryl Williams went on the IR.
Yeah, Damian Williams is probably hurt. So you're going to have
LeSean
McCoy, who... And I know Bill Belichick scolded me.
Ooh, did he ever.
He did. And told me that he's gained more yards than Kareem Hunt, which definitely means he's playing better than him right now, I guess.
No.
But he's not Kareem Hunt.
I don't know what category you're putting LeSean McCoy in, but I would put him in the great running back category.
I would not.
But that's what Bill
does. And I know he's smarter than I am.
He is smarter than you.
So maybe I should, but I can't put LeSean McCoy right now, going into Sunday, as one of the great running backs.
So if we're looking at any weakness,
Kareem Hunt is.
If we're looking at any weakness with the Patriots defense, it would be their run defense, right? That we've seen some runners out there amass some pretty good games against
them. Until last week.
Okay, yeah. But
you got beat by a quarterback last week. That's probably surprised me the most.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I thought he played great.
Yeah,
I know the numbers were ridiculous, but the yards-wise, but I thought he made decisions, checkdowns, got the offensive game plan. They got guys in matchups. They will attack your linebackers. You know, I thought he had a great game last night.
And I thought the game plan, the coaching staff game plan, Billy O'Brien's game plan was tremendous. But if you look at this game and the weakness that you've got defensively, it's against the run. And you tell me, how are they going to amass an awful lot of yards? Now you're limited. Now you're one-dimensional. Now you've got to throw the football, right? And you're doing it, by the way, on the road where the crowd could be a little louder. You might be able to get off the line a little bit quicker. This defense could be all over Patrick Mahomes.
I think they're the defense will have a good game. I do. I think that they're tailor made for this type of offense. How many are the Kansas City Chiefs suddenly going to run the pistol offense? Are they going to run some variation of what the Baltimore Ravens did or what the Houston Texans
Kelsey
did?
Line up in the backfield and alongside the quarterback.
And it was funny, though, because we never touched on this because when Bill was talking, I felt like on Wednesday his press conference, I feel like he was throwing shots at Kelsey, which I don't think is – maybe it's not necessarily an insult. He's a great receiver. He's a tight end. He's one of their best. I mean, giving him no credit for being a tight end. And
I think he was meaning as a compliment, though.
See, I looked at it as an insult because, unless Kelsey just doesn't give a crap about any of the other attributes that go along with being a tight end, like blocking, like no one's going to sit there and call him a devastating blocker. The best case scenario for him is just getting in your way.
Yeah, he's not a blocker.
No, just get in your way.
So I just worry
They've done
about,
a good job against him at times.
You talk about the Kansas City defense, and we had the same discussion. That's why we poo-pooed Houston. One of the worst defenses in the league. One of the worst. I think the worst red zone defense, the worst defense on third down.
And you couldn't move
26th to 28th in defense in the league. And so, okay, look what just happened. That's why I always said, it's not the great defense that scares me as much as it is as a capable offense that can actually put up points against your very good defense. Because I think you could take a defense like Houston, a defense here like Kansas City, and your offense will still look the same. It'll still struggle. What scares me more is about a team like this one, like Baltimore, like Houston, that can, regardless of how good your defense is, if they don't turn the ball over, they can still put up in the 20s, mid-20s. And Houston and Baltimore did. Hell, Baltimore put a lot more than that. That's why the fact that it's his defense, I would ask you, okay, what about Houston last week? How they look?
They look pretty good against New England's offense.
Against New England?
Question. Yep, they did. And I agree. That is not a good defense. That was not necessarily a compliment to the Houston defense. It was a negative for the Patriot offense. They were unable to exploit them. Did a terrible job.
See, in last year's game, it was funny because I was talking to Christian yesterday about this. I went back and just sort of looked at that game, the AFC title game. Because they ran right through them, right? They ran right through them. That's the kind of narrative. And I know they put up a lot of yards. What that running game did early was allow, I think the time of possession was 40-20 Patriots, right? It kept Mahomes off the field, right? But the last couple of drives, what running the football did was keep Mahomes off the field, and they ran the hell out of it in the red zone. But the way they got to the red zone was all Edelman and Gronk. Running the football got them down 21-17, I think it was. And then they threw it. Sony Michel ran it in from the 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And then they came right back and scored. What'd they do? Threw it, and they got Gronk to the 4, and then Rex Burkhead ran it in overtime. In overtime, they completed 3 third-and-10s to Gronk and Edelman and Gronk, and it was
on that last.
They got all the way down to the 10, and then Burkhead ran in a couple times. So they ran it in the red zone, but they threw it to get there with Gronk and Edelman. So I don't know if they can throw it to get down to the red zone, and then once they get there, I don't know if they can run it in like they did last year.
Well, they're going to have to run the football somewhat in this game. So your guy, Sony Michel, is going to have to appear somewhere in this game. Because I agree. I think it is a game possession thing once again. You can't fall behind this team. So if you fall behind the way you did in the Houston game, good luck. Because it just opens up their offense even more so. And I think that's why they had success in the last two games. If you remember, they had terrific first halves. And in the second half, Kansas City came roaring back, took leads in both of those games in the fourth quarter. Even though you were controlling possession of the football in the first half, you can't let them have a lead early on.
I mean, the first half, you walk out of that AFC title game, you're up 14-0.
Right.
You had the ball for 21 minutes. They had it for 9.
Yeah.
And the same thing, again, 40-20. So your running game kept them off the field.
That's the way you have to play.
They had the ball for 20 minutes. They put up 31 points in 20 minutes. But again, you threw the ball to get down there with guys like Edelman and Gronk, and then you red zone ran it in.
Yeah. So I think it's Edelman and Sanu. I think it's Edelman and Sanu. I think they can play that short passing
game. And then run
game,
it in?
They're going to have to run. They're going to have to do some running.
Mm. They're going to have to change everything.
Or the invisible kicker that hasn't shown up yet will show up.
Last week against Houston, 90% of the plays were running plays until you got inside the 10-yard line. and you knew you couldn't run it because it suddenly became harder. And the defenses know that. So fine, you guys are going to run it. It almost is kind of feels like the Patriots of a couple years ago, where teams would move the ball on them, but when they got inside the 10, inside the 20 or inside the 10, they couldn't do anything because they got so much better at stopping the run, better at playing pass defense. And then it's just the opposite. Now the offense, once they get down there, they can't score. They have no ability to finish drives. Just, you know, because it's like Bill said on Monday, it's easy. It's easier for them, for the defense. That's advantage them. So you got to be really good. You're going to take out Edelman? You're going to take out James White? Okay, who's left? Because what we usually say about the opposing offense is that the Patriots are going to take out your alpha dog. They're going to take out Tyreek Hill. They're going to take out Travis Kelce. I don't know, who knows how these, because they got a lot of them. But then the other guys have to show up. The B players, the role players,
right.
The others have to show up. Those are the guys, the Darren Fells of the world.
Yep.
You know, the Duke Johnsons of the world. Those are the guys, not the Andre Hopkins. He'll get his 6 catches for 80 yards, but he's not going to kill you. That's not going to be the reason why you lost, because ultimately you held him in check. You never scored any points. And the plays were big, but they didn't really make a difference. So, I mean, you call it. You tell me how you see it happen.
I just told you, I like this game on Sunday. Not by a lot. I think this is a close game. It's a 3-point game. But I like
when you
game.
When you have all the information and the history, this is why it's confusing, because the Patriots always end up, maybe it's early, maybe it's late. It's almost like they're testing people. Who's going to be the first to jump ship? Like, you jumped early last year. You saw what was happening. You couldn't see straight, and you were scared, and you said, no, they don't have it.
Right.
They don't have the right team, right? Suddenly, they figure it out, and they fool everybody wrong. So is it just as simple as, they're the Patriots, it's Bill, it's Tom, they'll figure it out? And then I go into, why is this different? To me, I am not believing it. I'm not buying the hype. They couldn't move it. They couldn't finish. So all of a sudden, N'Keal Harry is going to go from a D-minus performance to a performance?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I already said it.
It would only be an incremental improvement.
No, I don't think
that's that enough for you to win the game?
No, I'm not depending on him. I'm not depending on Dorsett. I'm not depending on Myers. Maybe Dorsett emerges or Myers a little bit and gives you some help. No, it comes down to Edelman. You're going to have to open up Edelman, pick plays, whatever. You're going to have to give him some daylight and throw the ball to Edelman, throw the ball to Sanu. I'm thinking that Sanu physically is going to be in better shape on Sunday's game. So maybe he gives you something. He's your second-best receiver. And after that, you need to run the football a little bit. I'm sorry, you got to get 75 yards out of Sony Michel.
Unfortunately, it's the Chiefs this week. I don't give them a chance. Now, the next, 3 weeks against Buffalo, Miami, they really need to play Cincy this week.
Yeah, that would be a nice bounce.
I'm just saying, because when you think about it, they have that soft schedule, and you had that first real game, maybe, I guess, like a talented team in Cleveland, and that's when you got Sanu. And then so Sanu and Harry are trying to get them involved in the game plan, up to speed. Baltimore, Philly, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City. And it's like that's when you needed that soft part of that schedule to try to get some of these guys up to speed. So I think they wear it for one more week. And then, against Cincy, I'm guessing it's going to look a lot better. Buffalo could be the game where you sit there and maybe start believing again, even if they're the number 2 seed. Like that home game against Buffalo. Maybe that 1 week, this week here, another week against Cincinnati, and against Buffalo, the offense looks like it could be something. I just think it's bad timing to play Kansas City. I don't think you're there yet. I don't think you have enough to put up 27 points, which is what it's going to take to win. Or maybe 30. I have no clue. I just don't think you got a chance this week.
And I would say if it does, they're going to need some help. They're going to need good field position. And I would also say you have no choice but to finish the drive. Who is going to be your kicker?
You know the other thing that hurts?
They still don't have one.
No, but you talk about field position. And this is probably under-talked about story. Field position for the offense.
Well, it's been a whole season.
Okay, no, but
it's been huge.
But this part
year.
Of it, like special teams, you have no kick returner.
Right.
You have your punt returner just fair catches everything. There's nothing there. Now, defensively, coverage, punts,
yeah,
very good.
You put them back.
Right?
Deep.
You can block punts. You can do all those sort of things. But once they get that little ball in the air and you don't block it, you talk about field position. There's no extra yards on a punt return. It's fair catches. Kickoffs, they'll just take the 25 all day because there's no threat. You talk about Cordarrelle Patterson. You talk about Edelman, who can get you that. You catch the ball at the 30, get you to midfield maybe with Julian, right? There's no extra yards in their kick return or punt return to help this offense out at all. There's nothing there.
I'm not disputing it, but it's pretty funny to hear you say, you know, I'd be better off with Cordarrelle Patterson right now.
Well, at least you'd have a legitimate threat.
And they would.
They let him do more than they let Nikhil Harry do.
And he was able to run the ball a little bit.
I'm just talking about helping the offense out with returns.
Yeah.
They get no help whatsoever. Right. It is just bare minimum. It is fair catch. Get the ball to 25. There's no extra yards there.
All right, let's get to some of these phone calls. Here's Brian. He's calling from Chicopee, Massachusetts. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was never going to get on with you guys.
Well, you know. Or we won't shut up.
I know. It's his fault.
Blame it
on it's Merlone. Merlone loves to hear himself.
Oh, wow. Young Padawan.
Hold on 1 second, Brian. Hey, it's Lou. How are you? Hey, Lou, how are you?
That's good. Lou, you're disgusting. Go play some ring toss. You buy your wife a Peloton, and now you're pushing these nudie pajamas. What is wrong with you?
Let me tell you something about Peloton and that damn commercial. Did they pull it off or not? Because I walked up to my wife and said, go upstairs and do that Peloton today. Go. Right now. Go.
Did she do it?
Of course. After she slapped me in the face and left the house.
Wow.
With Mason.
My wife. I don't mess with her either.
Yeah. He's going to buy her a KitchenAid mixer and an oven for Christmas.
I learned a long time. I got her a vacuum cleaner one year.
No, you don't do that. That's bad.
So what's up?
Okay. I got a question for Lou and Christian.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'll preface this with I am a longtime Seahawks fan.
Seahawks. Okay.
Right.
Yes, I've started liking the Seahawks back in 1977, so I'm not like a bandwagon jumper here. So if the Patriots had the Seahawks skill players in their offensive line, do you think the Patriots would be 12-0?
No.
I think they would be.
So wait a minute, they're going to be better than what Russell Wilson has done out there?
No, I'm just saying if the Patriots team, if Tom Brady was quarterbacking the Patriots with the skill players
DK
that
Metcalf,
the Seahawks have.
Who's their tight end?
Lockett,
yeah.
David Moore.
No. Russell,
do they have a tight end?
Two running backs, Carson they do. And Penny.
They had a great tight end.
They have a tight end.
They had Disley before he got hurt.
Disley got hurt, but Hollister's stepped up and playing pretty good. And
no, they're not that good, Brian. They're not that good.
You don't think that the Seahawks skill players this year as a collective group are better than the Patriots?
No. Do they have anybody as good as Edelman?
Okay, after Edelman, though, who do they have?
No, I mean, I take Lockett.
Do they have anybody as good as DK Metcalf?
Who, the Patriots?
Yeah.
Oh, after Edelman. No, Edelman. Listen. But I'm just saying, when you say they got better weapons, I don't think Metcalf is great. I think for a rookie, he's having a very good year. I think Hollister's kind of like a nice surprise. And Lockett's good, but let's not get carried away.
No,
better, they might be slightly better.
Yeah.
You think the Patriots running backs even compare to the two that the Seahawks have?
No. I thought you were talking about pass catchers. Sorry.
No,
I mean the whole group combined.
Here's the problem I have with your whole premise.
Hey, Carson's better than Sony. I'll give you that.
What is the record of the Seahawks?
James White's better than Penny.
What's the record of the Seahawks? Seahawks have the same record the Patriots do, correct?
Yep.
All right, so you're telling me that Tom Brady with that Seattle offense would be better than Russell Wilson right now? I don't buy it. Russell Wilson's a better quarterback right now. Right?
What I'm saying is you're right.
I hear what you're saying,
but that team in the AFC.
Probably the other good point.
If he had those guys against, no, I'm not saying that.
So you're telling me that Brady. So you're telling me that Brady.
If Brady had those weapons against those two teams he lost against, do you think he could have won those two games?
He's not beating. They're not beating the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm not sure I understand the whole premise.
Houston,
when we're talking
Houston,
about Russell
Houston,
Wilson is taking that team 10-2.
At least if you had those guys, DeCaf Metcalf is playing better than Nikhil Harry. Okay,
a little overrated, but go ahead.
Lockett's good.
Good, and then Hollister. Fine.
Jacob Hollister.
Fine.
He doesn't have good weapons. Please,
they're not great.
He's got a running attack
on that day against Houston. that squad would have been better.
Here's the difference, and it's something I said the other day with Tom Brady. If you're looking at the weapons that Brady has right now, and the fact that he can't get receivers open, okay, that he's sitting there and asking them to do certain things, and they're not following, and they're not quick enough to be able to get open on their own. If you had a mobile quarterback, mobile outside the pocket, who can run, Russell Wilson comes to mind here. He would be able to get more separation from guys like Myers, guys like Dorsett, because he would keep the play alive for a longer period of time. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying the premise that if you take those his crew, that he's going to be, Tom Brady's going to be two wins or two losses better than Russell Wilson. I don't buy it. Steve's in Southie. Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Steve.
Listen, I got to give a compliment to Lou before I ask my question. You know, I'm super critical of you sometimes, but you have been very fair and balanced with your critique of the past this year. You know, people on Twitter, honestly, I mean, they just don't know what they're talking about. Like, they're not using their eyes. I mean, they have not been a good offense. They're 24th in offensive efficiency since week four. Like, we're all seeing the same thing.
But who's saying they've been a good offense, Steve? Hold on. Who's saying they've been a good offense?
Read Lou's mentions and you'll see.
Do you have people actually doing that?
It's a different world, Glenn. It's a different world.
It's a
different world. Now, my question is for the three of you, who do we want to see the least? And just give me a reason why.
Ravens.
Houston or Kansas City.
Ravens, the least.
And I'd love to hear Christian's perspective as well, because obviously, you know, no offense, but he played, and I'd love to hear what he
did
sees.
You play?
That
true.
Did you play?
This is true.
I did. I have a
leather
helmet term. Yeah, well, what is the question?
Ravens, Texans, or Chiefs? Which one would you...
Who do you fear the most?
Face the least. Right.
Oh, the Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah.
They've humiliated you.
They'll beat Houston.
You're better than Houston. You play them five times, you beat them four.
In the postseason, they'll play them here at Gillette, and they'll beat them.
It isn't even about trying to figure out Lamar Jackson. I honestly think their defense isn't that far behind yours.
Well, we'll see.
Whose defense?
Baltimore's.
We'll see.
I don't think they are.
They get big leads every week, Lou. Their offense gives them big leads. It allows them to play.
I don't think they're that far behind you.
I think they're a good defense.
I think they're a good defense, too. I'd like to see them when they're behind in a game and see how they react, see how they play.
The defense.
Because I think right now they're getting leads early on in games. They're controlling the game.
San Fran, they're pretty good. And they stopped.
No, I think they're pretty good. In bad conditions. Weather was awful.
Oh, stop it. They're a damn good defense.
I worry about weather.
So that's why the Patriots defense was good against Dallas?
Yeah. Here's your buddy, Paulie in Denham. Paulie!
Hey, what's going on? Sorry about that. Man. Just coming out of town about my way to the Bones game right now.
Ah, babe.
A couple of things on the offense. Get down.
Can't hear.
All right, too bad.
Sorry, Paulie.
No huddle.
Can't hear.
Quiet. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, we can't hear you.
Your phone. I don't know if you're in the tunnel.
Your phone sucks.
All right. I think he should be good to get down the field, and he should be running a lot of five wide. Put Brady in the gun. It'll give the defense more to account for.
Five wide.
Right out the line of scrimmage. Guys will be able to get into their battens quicker as well. You can spread them a bit. If you can't spread them deep, you might as well spread them wide. Okay, just in terms of the defense and the offensive approach. Brady will be able to, guys will get the pattern quicker. There'll be guys coming over quicker. He'll be able to get rid of the ball quicker. When you get down the field, you got to go big. You got to bring some extra big bodies, and you just got to let it rip. I don't know why they've been playing games down there. When you get on there, you want to punish the opposition anyway. They had an opportunity to do it against Baltimore. They had an opportunity in there that game. They had an opportunity to do it against
Baltimore. All I heard was if you can't do something wide, do it
let
deep.
It rip.
What?
Just let it
can't
rip.
Do it deep, do it wide.
If you can't do it deep, do it
five
wide.
Five wide, shotgun.
When you get, well, four inches
should
have turned that blind enemy, that enemy. Maybe you should listen more when I'm talking. Ooh.
Tell him, Paulie. Ooh.
Paulie, listen.
Tell him, Paulie.
You remember how it ended last time?
Tell him, Paulie. Get in there.
Maybe I should have gone on that bus ride. Me and him should have had it out right in the bus.
You should have.
It would have made him feel a whole lot better.
You should have.
I don't know what bus you're talking about.
Best to the Encore that you asked people to drive with you.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody showed up.
I'm telling you, if you're first to go, you got to go big. You got to get in there. You got to get top and get in there. Let them rip. Bring in a few extra bodies. But I'm wearing these guys out going down the field. I'm going putting Brady in the gun. I'm going five wide. And that's all I'm trying to get down the field, to tire out the defense. Then bring in the big guys and let them have it.
All right, Paul.
Sounds good.
Well, they got this visual of you on the sideline with a headset replacing Josh McDaniel, sitting there going, let's go five wide.
Five wide, put Brady in the gun.
I like it.
Five wide, put Brady in the gun.
Five wide, put Brady in the gun.
Can't go deep, go wide.
Here's John and Peabody. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good job.
Good, good. Glenn, I think you need a caller to Glenn Dictionary, because apparently you don't seem to understand when callers are telling you things. The guy about the Seattle offensive skill players, his point was, which I happen to agree with, is that if you had the Seattle offensive skill players on the Patriots with the Patriots defense and the Patriots special teams, then that team would be 12-0. Not comparing.
Well, he didn't say all of that. Well, you're explaining a little
bit more.
But,
John, here's the thing. Let's take your explanation, right? Because you're right. I think you might have said that. I still think you're wrong.
Yeah.
You think Seattle's weapons?
You have a right to disagree with me. Of course, you're the one that's wrong.
Ooh.
Because what the biggest issue the Patriots have had all season offensively is what?
Everything.
Offensive line. Exactly.
Are you going any order? Line,
Brady's been off. They're all a little bit off. And the funny thing I always like to hear about in the past years about Brady and what he said, you know, I think he's getting a pass this year and last year's, you know, Brady OTAs, he explains to everyone how important those things are and working and getting used to players and players getting used to him. But what did we have this year with Myers? Myers was there all OTAs. He wasn't. And he's worrying about how he's going to get the new guys involved. I think he deserves the most credit for their lack of consistency.
Okay, but I don't understand why you think Seattle's weapons are great.
I never said they were great.
You said if they came here, then you'd be 12-0. With Tyler Lockett, again, DK Metcalf, Jacob Hollister, Rashard Penny, and Chris Carson?
And Disley, So
Disley's hurt.
What has that offensive line done for Disley and
you're talking about switching the entire team?
It's not what the guy was
because
talking
about.
Because
now you got to have...
It's not what the guy said. John.
Well, offensive line is not a skill player, is it?
John, you didn't understand the call.
Do you consider a left tackle a skill player?
No, I do not.
Okay, so why are you talking to me about an offensive line all of a sudden?
You got it wrong, John.
What I said was that his concept was the skill players, which I happen to agree with.
Okay.
And what I mentioned about the offensive line was the issue that the Patriots have had with their offensive line can be solved with better skill players. And, yes, I do put our Michelle a step behind Penny. I put the tight end.
No.
It's a different position. He's a step behind Chris Carson. But is Rashard Penny better than James
Come on,
White?
Michelle. Come on. Sony Michelle, if you were agitated, listen, I love Rashard Penny, the San Diego State kid, little guy.
Yeah, but he's tough guy.
He's not even not staying back.
Oh,
if you're frustrated with Sony Michel, Rashard Penny can't break those tackles either.
And by the way, guys, hold on, because I know Carson has himself close to 1,000 yards or whatever, and he's been terrific in running the football. But the one thing we talk about every single week is ball security.
Yeah, he fumbles a little bit.
Seven fumbles.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Seven fumbles. Yeah. Seven. What are we talking about? Seven fumbles. That takes away some of that yardage.
Yeah, he would not be playing here.
Are you afraid of the Patriots running game and want to stack the box? I'm not.
No, but nobody is.
Nobody. But, John, Carson wouldn't be playing here every single week with Bill Belichick with all those fumbles.
You know, it's just I don't understand. Okay, so Carson's running in front of this offensive line. Talking about skill players.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
He's changing all the rules. He's moving the goalpost on what the guy actually
does. Hell, you could sit there and say, this is one reason why you should give Russell Wilson credit for he's doing.
That was the point I was
Because his weapons aren't better than Tom Brady's. He lost a great tight end. He's throwing a Jacob Hollister. He doesn't have a Julian Edelman on his team. He's got a rookie just like you do. He's been there all year, and he's helped. But that's one reason to give Russell Wilson credit. Because I don't think his weapons are good either.
Ooh, he's extending plays right now, and that's why he's getting receivers
difference.
Open.
You hit it.
And he would be better than Tom Brady right now in this offense.
He could avoid a pass rush when the line breaks down.
With these guys.
Stay in it with these guys, and maybe guys would get open more. Yes, 100%.
That's the one thing that you could shuttle in and replace Tom Brady with right now. If you had one of those top three mobile quarterbacks that could do it, because your receivers, what they lack right now in getting that separation, the extending of the play would allow them, the quarterback, to get the ball to those receivers. Tom Brady can't do that. He is limited. We all know what he is. All right, 617-779-7937. This portion of the program brought to you by ElizabethGrady.com. Get your wife some Elizabeth Grady. That's nice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mahomes, how many times has he beaten Tom Brady right now so far?
None is my guess.
None.
That's my guess.
And you probably took Mahomes the last time, too.
No, I took Brady every time in my life.
Look. This matchup, it's a wonderful matchup. It will be talked about all week. That people will come out with the phoniest of phony numbers to justify their position.
I've lost my place in my notes.
One guy.
Tragedy.
One guy is the greatest of all time.
Tom Brady.
And he's ambulatory. He's not restricted. He's not wearing a harness. He doesn't have to carry a tennis racket in his left hand. He's going to be playing this weekend, and he's angry because people are questioning him and his team.
Only Mahomes and Rodgers would I take. Only them. But Mahomes is in the question.
Wilbon and Kornheiser, pardon the interruption. Wilbon taking Brady and Kornheiser taking Mahomes. No disrespect to Tom Brady, but Mahomes right now is he can do more. And you're taking him.
I don't
with
think
his,
you're a hater if you say that.
No, you're taking him with his team too, with the weapons he has. Right? I mean, that's the only way you can look at it. You can't sit there. Oh, we're not going to play the game again. Oh, let's take Tom Brady and put him on Kansas City. Yeah, he'd probably be a lot better.
Listen,
with
this isn't
guys.
A debate. Who's had a better career? It's not a debate about who you want for the next 5 or 10 years, right?
Correct.
Because I mean, both of them are like Brady's been a better, but obviously moving forward, Mahomes is what he is. But right now. Mahomes, to your point, get outside the pocket. He can move. He's just.
Yeah, with your weapons,
I still
right
think
now,
he's the best quarterback in the game.
He would open up
see,
your
the
weapons.
Only reason why the Russell Wilson, this is not a national story, because what are the Seattle Seahawks? So they got 2 losses?
Yes.
Yeah. They're 10-2,
the
right?
The two of them are the best quarterbacks
in the game. Up there with 10-2.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah, okay, but would you. But, you know, he'll never get that national Russell Wilson is done. Well, obviously because he's not old. He's young.
Unless he sounds so like Pete Carroll.
All upbeat and excited.
Oh, he does.
And
no,
happy.
He sounds exactly, no, he sounds like, exactly like him, by the way.
Well, so does Steve Belichick. Yeah. Well, I guess that's his son.
And by the way, can we bring
so
this
up? So does Dick Casario.
Can we bring this up? Because the guy said, well, you know, with those weapons or whatever, if we switch places, maybe they would have beaten Baltimore. Does anybody remember that Seattle got smoked by Baltimore? Didn't they get smoked?
Did it? Smoked.
30 to 14 or something like that. Oh, no.
It was a big eye-opener from Baltimore.
It was 30 to 14 or 30 to 16.
I look at that differently because there were two crazy, wacky plays that they returned that just would never happen
okay,
again.
Okay, well,
whatever.
Well,
they
hold
won.
On.
So what?
Hold on.
Technically, they got smoked. Fine.
You had the fumble with Edelman. We can go through that as well.
But technically, you're right. They got smoked.
Right.
I just think it's like, you know, if you want to pick, what would Brady do with these weapons? Like, you know, there's other extremes. Seattle, to me, is in the same boat. They're in the same boat.
Yeah, they are.
That's all.
They don't have enough.
Oh. I mean, not that they can't win. Because I think Russell Wilson, to your point, gets outside the pocket, things can break down. He's got guys taking off everywhere. He can make things happen. But they, I wouldn't sit there and say, whoa, look at the weapons that Seattle has. Ho-ho.
Who would you say that about?
Oh, that's a good question.
Who's got just a grip of weapons, a bunch of studs? Atlanta?
Atlanta, how's that working
Atlanta?
Out for them?
Oh, I'm just saying. So it's just funny. I'm
they lost Sanu, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How about Tampa? You give him Chris Godwin. You give him Mike Evans. You give him the two tight ends. Yeah, you can make some things happen.
Well, I mean, again,
it's where Tom's playing next year.
You give him Christian McCaffrey and
DJ Moore,
The tight end who just got knocked out. Olsen. There's a bunch of teams out there that have. How about Tennessee? Take those guys. Take their running back. Take both the running backs, big and small. Take their tight end. Take both their receivers.
Derrick Henry has been great. How about Cleveland? You want to take Cleveland?
How about that? Jesus. Let's take them. That's an embarrassment of riches. I mean, so really, when you start breaking it down, you start looking at Miami teams that really suck.
Well, I mean, Minnesota.
Miami's got a couple
Rams.
Of
Rams. Yeah, you could do it. But I'm just saying to pick Seattle, just to me, is
so
weird.
To me, like the whole debate about whether or not Brady sucks or if he, it's just like, I don't even look at it as the weapons. I just look at it as like when he takes the ball and he's surveying the field and he's doing his game management part, like he looks good. Like it doesn't look like he's struggling to throw the ball. He doesn't look like he's missing. It doesn't look like he's, he does miss, but it doesn't mean like those are few, in my opinion, few and far between. And there's some that look like he's missing because the route's wrong. And everybody's part of the problem.
But if
I just don't see it.
But if you look at his weapons, if we're going to talk about the weapons again and how limited he is with the C, thank you, Chatham, with both the running backs and the passing game, and we just ran down all of these other teams.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you look at how many weapons they have, and his team doesn't right now. By the way, Tom Brady listed today as limited participation.
Oh, elbow.
In practice, toe and the right elbow.
Toe
was there yesterday, toe. I don't know where the toe came from, but I saw toe on here yesterday.
Toe.
But he had full participation with the toe. Today, the toe.
It's like the toe has a Twitter page.
Was it last Thursday he was limited with the elbow? Or was that Friday late?
That was Friday late.
Well, I just wonder if it's starting to turn into like, give me a day of throwing and then we're going to give you a couple days off. He's throwing the football more than anyone in the league right now.
Load management.
So, absolutely. Now, was it Giardi, I think, that came out with it, said he's been dealing with it for some time, he believed? I'm not saying it's that serious, but given how much he throws the football, I would expect the rest of the year, Thursday, Friday, you're going to see this because he's going to take it easy.
Well, right? I'm going to wait for Larkin for his report on it a little bit later on. Here's Alex in a car. What do you got, Alex?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
good.
Up?
Nobody would be surprised if the Patriots, had some success in the postseason and all that. But, this goes back to about the last two or three years with Tom Brady when he decided that he was going to stop going to OTAs. Then he came out with Tom for Time and the timing of him coming out with that. And then this year, the whole thing with the contract and calling out these young kids.
Killed him last year, that Tom versus Time, and then missing the OTAs. It was a killer. Should have won the Super Bowl last year.
I just prefaced by saying it wouldn't surprise you if they turned it on and had success in the postseason. But the way that Tom is acting is not the first 16 or 17 years he did when he dealt with whatever card Bill Belichick gave him. And he had Richie Caldwell in years past and all these guys and still managed to win games and still managed to do things. But if you look at his body language and you look at all the whining, why? Because he's 42 and his time is running out?
Alex, it's very simple. Because when he had Richie Caldwell and all those other guys, he was a little bit younger and he's sitting there going, oh my God, I got to deal with this crew. Now he's older. He's on the back nine. He's on the 16th here. And he's looking at it saying, they're saddling me with crappy guys again. So why wouldn't he do that? And so it's his job now to get these young players to go out there and play. And so that's what he's going to do. He's going to raise his voice if they're error repeaters and they continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again, because that's what leaders do.
Right, but didn't the Patriots try? They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They'd never done. They went out and signed Antonio Brown.
Nobody's denying that. Nobody's denying that. But look at the games. You watch the offense. Do you tell me? Tell me. You think he's got a lot to work with every Sunday?
Alex, hold on. You draft a rookie wide receiver. How much success do rookie wide receivers have in this organization?
I don't know. I look at turnaround and see other receivers and tight ends that are drafted in the first or second round. And Bill Belichick decided not to now, but he drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round, which he never did. He went out and signed Antonio Brown. He traded a second round pick for Sanu. These are all things to do because Tom wants weapons around him. I get it. I love Tom Brady, but I don't like the way he's acting.
Do you, though? Do you really?
I don't think he does.
I don't think you do.
Well, Alex, when Bill went out to please Tom Brady and signed Antonio Brown, was Tom in a good mood? And then they cut him.
Oh.
And then they cut him.
Right, and then they cut him. So, yeah, because the Patriots organization, for whatever reason, we don't have to agree with what Kraft and Belichick do.
They have surrounded him with nothing. And they've done that they've trended for this for 2 years. 2 years ago. They sat there and lost all these weapons. They lost Brandon Cooks. They lost Danny Amendola. Hogan was gone. Who did they replace him with? Nada. Niente. Nothing. And then this year they lost Gronk. Who'd they bring in? Nada.
Last year they had a running game and a defense that won them a championship. Was it because of that offense?
Because they didn't give them anybody. Why can't you figure that out?
But they tried to give him to this year, and for whatever reason, whatever they chose didn't work out. Would you have kept the Antonio Brown?
Yes.
If you were Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick, would you have kept him?
Yes. Yes, I would have.
You would have?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's why you're not the owner or the head coach.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Well, I think your head coach wanted. You think Belichick wanted to keep him?
And what about all this good job? Cross right over with those other guys.
What other guys?
What other guys?
Gronkowski, him and Brady. Oh yeah, you know I feel so bad. They got a better winning. They got a winning record without Gronkowski for all those times.
You think they're better without Gronk, Alex?
I do.
No, I don't.
Oh,
Lou, then why are you even bringing that up?
Don't get cute because something don't get happened cute, Lou. We don't Stop know getting about. Cute. We don't know about what happened between Bill, Tom, and Gronk. And this whole respect card and the Tom for time and all this other stuff. Can you guys are around all this stuff. Can you pinpoint what happened?
No.
Yes, I can tell you everything. Give me a call.
I'm telling you.
Thank you for listening.
This Brady thing is going to drive people absolutely bat crap. Here's Matt in New Hampshire. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you guys?
Terrific, good, Matt. How are you?
How are you?
I'm living the dream. Listen,
that a babe.
Hey, if it's the end for Tom, right? Like if it's four games left or whatever the drama is that's happening.
Yes,
I think maybe we might want to try to celebrate. You know, look at what's happened.
It's a good idea.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Jesus.
What do you mean by celebrate? Like,
so we should
like David Ortiz give a man
sit back and enjoy the next five games at least. Maybe six, maybe seven. Who knows?
What do you give to the man who has everything?
Is that what you're saying, Jamal?
Everything.
Oh, no, I'm not even on Jamal.
How about give him some receivers? Here's Jamal. Hello, Jamal.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up? How you all doing?
I'm good. I was listening earlier on the show. Christian said he hopes that Brady plays for another team, and I actually agree with him because I'm like a glutton for punishment, and I would love to
It is kind of odd, isn't it, Jamal? Well,
some people are into that.
It's like there's this morbid curiosity that exists with me. Just how would it all go? Like, how would it start, and then how would it end? I'm curious.
You want to know? You're so curious.
I do want to know. Yes, I want the answers to the test.
I want to know what if Brady goes to the Dolphins, and then they're like, "Yeah, Bill, we're going to beat you twice in the year, and we're going to make the playoffs, and I'm winning the Super Bowl, and you have nothing to do with it." That would be the best.
Yeah, see, that's not as much. That's not my reason. My reason is I just want to see how we coexist.
See what happens.
I want to hear when he does this sit-down interview with Jason Kennedy in the room, and it's in Tennessee. I want him to discuss, you know, why he's so happy all of a sudden.
The goat sat with the goat. How was that?
God, please.
The goat sat with the goat.
Yeah, I don't think I could put up with it. If he's not here, he's elsewhere.
You know, you would.
So every week, think about this.
We'd still act like he was here, by the way.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. So let's say Ryan Fitzpatrick is your quarterback here. He's got to play for every team in the division. Harvard. He would fulfill the division, right? It'd be every team in the division. So you bring him in, and you'd be looking at the Patriots every week, but every week, the game that Tom Brady is playing, whatever team he's playing for, would get the same amount of attention, would it not?
Absolutely.
Be unbelievable.
Absolutely. It would be insane. I mean, really. I mean, it just the idea of him playing somewhere else is crazy.
It is crazy.
But I just, you do wonder in the back of your mind, like, if you are you watching the last five games of Tom Brady? Maybe it's, six, seven.
You know, I think also you see these old, you know, videos of Johnny Unitas playing, you know, not playing with the Colts. What was he, with the Rams? Or who was the other one?
He was with the Colts.
No, I know, but he left the Colts. And who did he play with? Joe, and then Joe Namath? All these old-timers that played on different teams. I mean, it's just weird, and they're just broken down, and they're tired, and they're old. And you just don't want to see that with Brady wearing some old-school brace that's just like you see all the metal, and you just, he's just barely getting by.
San Diego.
Yeah.
I would say this with Namath, though. He probably wasn't as strict as Tom is
good
with all that TB12 stuff.
It's just, you know, he was a broken-down, he was current football player. He just never even close to himself.
I want to kiss you.
That's when he was as himself. Here's Jay and Peabody next up. Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to comment on sort of like Brady's demeanor this season. If you look back to like the 2011-2012 season, you can remember him blowing up on the sideline when Taquan Underwood didn't run that, you know, that cross in the end zone, blowing up against Bill O'Brien, sort of him blowing up against the
Josh 2 years ago. 2 years ago against Josh, blow up on the sideline.
Yeah.
We've seen all this stuff before. I'm telling you, when you saw it the other day, the optics, because it was during the game. So you're watching the game, you're feeling what's going on in the game, and suddenly they're putting the camera over there, and you can read some, you know, his lips, and you're going, oh, my God. But then you go back and you tie it in to the plays or plays that just happened, and it makes all the sense in the world.
When you listen to it,
it's not nearly as bad.
No, it's not.
Not nearly as bad. It's almost as if he's giving them some encouragement. And at the end, he's got the thumbs up to them. Like, come on.
Exactly.
We're talking professional sports.
I don't blame these receivers. If you look, I mean, we had a lot of turnover on the coaching staff. And, you know, we have Joe Judge taking over as the wide receiver coach. I think it was Josh Boyer last year. So it probably has to do with some dynamic of the total offense. Or Chad O'Shea, sorry. The dynamics of the total offense as opposed to, you know, individual players. Because I find it hard to believe that all these receivers are having trouble getting open. I mean, if you look at the tape, certainly there's a lot of separation. A lot of people aren't running their routes effectively as you know, receivers in the past. I mean, Dolo is a smart player. Edelman always gets open.
Not right now, he's not. And that's part of the problem. He can't get open right now because you can't get other receivers involved. And you see these other teams, and the third and fourth receivers are making big plays in their games. You can't do that, and you can't free up Edelman right now. Maybe you can do it in this game on Sunday. Here's Steven Attleboro on OMF.
Hi, guys. Away a quick ball wash moment. I just got to say, Lule, it mentioned about 20, 25 years ago at a Mobon hit camp.
Yeah.
You know, I got an autograph from you, and my old man talked. I think you're the man. Christian, my old man, helped plaster your house. And Glenn, my dad's always wanted to hang out with you at the Patriots all tailgate thing. But
come on down.
With that said,
we're all idiots.
I think the better
Go ahead, sorry.
With that said, I think the better exercise here, instead of taking the, you know, receivers from other teams, is around the league, what other quarterback would be 12-2 with the Patriots receiving corps? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
10-2.
10-2, yeah.
Well, I think this is obviously, I mean, what do you think Mahomes would be here?
He's not the best quarterback in the league right now.
What do you think Russell Wilson would be?
He's not the worst quarterback.
I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would be 10-2. The question is, how far down do you go? This is the discussion that we've had. Average, mediocre quarterbacks. Given your schedule in the first 8 weeks, maybe you don't win 44-0, 33-3. Maybe you don't win 37-10. But your defense is so dominant, I think you still win most of those games.
Yeah,
Your quarterback doesn't move the football.
Yeah, I'm not sure you do. And the guys that are rated
higher. That's not saying that Brady sucks. That's just saying that your schedule was so bad, your defense was so dominant early in the year, that you could have got below average quarterback play and still won games.
Yeah, but the difference is he was really clean with the ball in the early games. And a play here and a turnover there or here would have changed those games dramatically. I heard somebody on the NFL Network the other night talking about Derek Carr. Did they watch the game this past week? Derek Carr had himself a little bit of a difficulty against Kansas City. Is people watching Derek Carr every single week? Because I'm not sure you bring Derek Carr in here and this team is 10-2. And Derek Carr is probably one of those guys people would look at and say, hey, he's a pretty good quarterback, right? Middle of the pack.
Played like one.
Yeah. paid like a one of the top quarterbacks.
Elite quarterback.
And I'm not sure he's making this team better. Peter's in Worcester. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I first of all, great show, and I always learn a lot. But I want to tell you, when it comes to AB, my recollection, and at 67, maybe there's something wrong, but I don't recall a whole lot of people when times were good and we hadn't lost a game yet and everything was warm and sunny. I don't remember anybody telling us to hold on to AB.
I did.
Oh. What do you mean anybody? Like I mean, I know I did.
Well,
never
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. Anybody on sports radio?
No, you know
I
what you...
To you guys, yeah. I listen to the other guys, yeah. And I don't remember a majority telling us to hold on to AB.
Oh, no, we had those conversations. That was a mistake, that they need him.
Right.
Christian even said that they don't need him. You know, they could have used another body, but not exactly him, but disagreed. Plenty of people talked about it. They made a mistake letting him go. Of course, when they signed him, it was the greatest thing in the world. So whatever the Patriots decide is the greatest thing in the world. But I think there's a lot of people who never wanted to see him leave.
No,
but I think there's players in that locker room. Christian had it. They're kicking the tires. Nobody believes it. Was it locking for him?
Yeah.
Came out this weekend and said that there's still coaches and players that would love to have him back. Coaches saying he was not a problem here.
You finally heard Christian.
You know,
it was time to jump back.
Kraft doesn't want him here, but I find it extremely hard to believe that coaches and players would not love to have Antonio Brown back.
I think
here.
What he was picking up on is the fan base changed depending on what day it was and what
whatever
was going
Patriots
on.
Do.
Exactly. That's what it was.
If they signed him, Everybody would say, right today, It'd be the greatest thing in the world.
So they were winning games at the time. So they, you know, you sit there and say, well, those ticks are bad. Yeah, he's a bad guy. Let's get him out of here. And then when you finally realize, oh, maybe our team's not that good because now we're playing some legitimate teams, everybody shifted in the other direction. It was kind of normal. You may have money waiting to be claimed at findmassmoney.com. All you have to do is go to findmassmoney.com, plug in your name, hometown, and you'll find out instantly if you're on the list. Findmassmoney.com. Fast, easy, and free. Well, yesterday we teased you with an appearance by Christian. He's America's favorite guest now on these sports radio talk shows. He visited the Miami station yesterday. You got to hear this.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's go!
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help. Well, as we said, Christian is all over the place. He used to be the prankster. Now, no, he sits down comfortably, puts the phone next to his ear, sits there and says, let's talk. Let's do something. So he's on the Defoe Show. That's the show down in Miami.
It's our friend.
Guy that hates, well, he likes you. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like Lou because Lou does impressions.
I'm Jeff DeForest.
Jeff DeForest, and Lou does impressions. He did something like that. And he's got the Lou
guy.
He
likes my impression.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, he said that to your face.
Yeah.
Christian Fourier with us here.
Behind.
Behind said, your back, it's killing you.
Crazy. And he's got his little sidekick, and I mean Luby. Little. And it's Luby. Luby.
Who looks exactly like he sounds.
Yes. So here we go.
Christian Fourier joins us right now. Are you still carrying those two stiffs, Merlone and Ordway, on your back?
Wait,
hold on.
Stop it right now.
See what I mean?
Is that a repeat? Like because I think he starts every interview with Fourier with that
Christian
exact same line. You're still carrying those two stiffs?
Yeah.
It's a set
I told
line.
Him to stop doing it. I said, listen,
but it's the same line every time. Same, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You told him to do it.
I said, stop. At first I did, but it's the same line.
This guy can't be that stupid to repeat the same line.
Carrying those on your back to ratings legendary status in the Boston market?
Yeah, I'm so sick and tired of carrying them that I actually had to go see a back specialist.
There's real humor.
Wait, hold on. Oh,
that's funny.
Wait, you stepped all over Luby.
Screw Luby.
What?
It's really easy to impress Luby.
I'm so sick and tired of carrying them that I actually had to go see a back specialist because of the third anchor that is just weighing on me. It's just... I can barely stand up straight. My back is so sore.
You know what?
Yeah, they're taking a call in you Quasimodo there in the Boston area.
Yeah. That's what I look like.
Miami humor. There's a lot of old references of people and names that I've never heard of. You want an old reference?
I want an old reference.
I would love to jump on board and say, hey, I saw it first. But, guys, I'm telling you, it's not him. Like, 100% on my kids, it ain't him. It's not the Brady. Other people around him. It's the receivers. It's the offensive line.
I'm happy to hear you say that because he was starting to look like Peter McNeely to me.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, listen, wait, you guys, I get it, wait, you guys actually beat a team, like the Dolphins actually
beat. Oh, don't talk to us about our team.
Is that what it is?
It's not a consideration.
That's what it is. Whoa, you guys, no wonder Doobie's in such a good mood right now. I've never heard him. He's like a little, he's like the happy elf. Listen to him chuckling in the background.
Making fun of little people now. What is wrong with you?
Listen, wait, you guys.
I feel like all of us need a Luby in our life.
Yes.
No matter what you say, no matter how stupid it is,
I got a little Luby here for you.
Glenn had one. What was that producer's name? That you had one from your basement?
Oh, Chet.
Chet.
Blast in the past.
Yeah, I know. That was cool. Yeah.
He is the pulse behind the Afternoon Drive show on WEEI. He is absolutely the torch that lights that show up. The couple of zombies like Glenn.
So everything DeForest says, he says harpy, ha, ha, harpy, ha, ha, torch, ha, torch, torch.
It's he like said Ed torch. McMahon.
All right, Neely. Ha.
He is absolutely the torch that lights that show up. The couple of zombies like Glenn Ordway. By the way, tell Glenn if he wants to share my blood pressure medication. You know, we're both up there, the geezers at Caesars. I'm more than happy to send him some. And then I have a bus ticket to Pawtucket for Maloney.
Oh, Jesus.
He's going to have to go. They're getting rid of Pawtucket. They're going to go to Worcester. Yeah, they're getting rid of the Pawtucket. They're going to be the Woosocks. So he'd have to go in the other direction now.
Can I just say this?
Why are you even on?
Why do you go on the show?
I don't know. You guys talk sex at all or anything?
Show up.
What are they appealing to? Like 80 plus?
Wait.
What kind of audience is this?
Don't know.
These jokes are horrendous.
It's so bad. I love
horrible.
It.
The worst, it's like personal like attacks and background on your two hosts. Yes. They're in Miami, and people are like, who the hell is this Maloney Ordway guy?
Exactly. No clue.
Sounds good. Yeah. Remember how scared Luby looked after Ordway called him out? Said, you're the guy. That's been busted on us. All right. Thanks so much, Christian. Really enjoyed it. All right, Christian Fourier, ladies and gentlemen. See, I told you that was a guy that we should have back on the show.
I'm not against him. I just, we don't really.
You were mad that Ordway insulted you and said that I carry you to work in a suitcase.
He's not, what's funny is he's not that much bigger of a dude. He's just wider.
Oh, Glenn Ordway?
He's not that much taller than
he's 100 years old. What are you talking about? He was in there with Johnny Most calling Celtic games.
I think that's classic.
Havlicek steals them all. Ordway would chime in and go, yeah, he's got it.
We love Luby.
Oh, we got Luby's got to come up here for like a week. We're gonna send Tyler down there and bring us Luby.
Why don't you send a suitcase down for him?
Well, the bats can back up here. A miracle can happen, and they show up in Miami. We'll just go in studio with them. That'd be good.
Mutt, you there? Hello, Mutt.
Check.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, Jesus. Drag him from the table.
Drive. You idiot. It's Afternoon Drive in Boston. You might want to say, hey, you're on the air, Mike.
Check.
Sound like Louis.
Christian's producers now. Listen.
Oh, you shut him off?
I'm almost done. Wow, let's pissed Ryan at the producers just now. Now he's all pissed off. You should have told me I was on.
All right, so
if you missed any of today's show, remember
is he with
you
Tommy over there again or no? Cameron or no?
No, it's Wiggy tonight.
Oh, Wiggs.
Remember,
right, Wiggs
remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the Rewind feature.
Wait,
Neely.
To 37937 to download. Standard message and data rates may apply. All right, we're going to leave right now because Mutt
gets you ready, buddy.
It's a little flustered right now. Mutt at Night coming up next. We'll do it tomorrow, 2:00 in the afternoon. Be here. Goodbye.
It's over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.